Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast. You are now tuned into love. You are now tuned into
love. You are now tuned into the Frogcast. All right. So we are currently aware that there is a situation happening right now between Paul and Karini and their child, Piri. We don't have any information and we are not going to discuss that on the show, but we do recommend that if you do have any information to forward it all to the number that we have in the show notes, local police department, whatever resources you have, just to give any help, any kind of clue or anything, you know, could help in, you know, everyone's collection and forwarding of information. So, with that, I think we're good to
Just
jump into the show and start talking.
Hi guys, it's Anna and Hanikawa, and Frada will join us very shortly, but we just wanted to just address that. So if you do have any information about any of the situation that's going on right now, you know, please definitely reach out to any local authorities. We have no idea what's going on. We have not a clue. It's kind of just hearsay. So hopefully the babies are okay, and hopefully he's okay and she's okay. So anyway.
as always with them, I'm like, I hope it gets solved off social media, please.
I know. Yeah.
For the sake of them and the
kids. Just for the sake of the kids. And yeah, and, you know, it's a tough time and people are kind of, mental health is a big thing too. So I know that's one of our sponsors. So if anyone has any insight on them, you know, it's not even for just gossiping or for blogging purposes. It's more for like the benefit of the children. So please keep us posted. But anyway, back to the show. So
where do you want to start off?
Because we haven't talked in a while. I feel like we could start off with the regular show and then we could touch on Love in Paradise, which is really what's been kind of like crazy. And I feel like, you know, the last time we were all together, Danielle was on the show and she was talking about how, you know, she just saw the show evolve in such different angles and blah, blah, blah. The Love in Paradise for me is probably television gold at this point. I don't know. Have you been watching it? It's amazing.
I watched a couple episodes and I always say it captures me a little bit more than 90 Day, only because I know the 90 Day antics already. So you kind of watch it like it's a, like, yep, it's a telenovela or something like that.
Yeah.
But the Love in Paradise, I'm just kind of like, oh my God, like what is actually happening? Cause it's, I don't know, for me, the curtains are still closed and I like that. So I can actually like,
yes,
enjoy it like a real reality show. And I can believe that everything's still real on there.
Well, interestingly enough, so I feel like TLC is like paralleling a lot of storylines-ish. So a lot of the people that they've met in the real show have met on vacation. So the first couple that I want to dive into is Ariana and Sherilyn. Wow. So they remind me of Emily and Kobe, but like he is a complete and utter womanizer. So for me, I'm like, you know, I don't know. This poor girl brought the kid to Jamaica. I think she went to Jamaica the first season pregnant, very pregnant.
Yes.
And then, so he hasn't met the child yet and the child's 10 months old. So it's kind of a similar parallel storyline of, what's his name? Kobe and Emily. So I feel like they're, you know, but I like the whole thing that she took the baby to the airport. She was totally like, give him, you know, she wants him to be more involved. So I feel like, you know, Emily, take notes. You need to be more involved and let your husband to be or baby daddy help out, because, you know, parenting's not easy. So they're in Jamaica and he kind of drops hints that he hasn't been faithful. So,
which isn't very surprising, because doesn't he work at
he works in a swingers resort.
I would say hedonistic. I don't know if that's the correct right word, but yeah. It's, you know, it's like, you know,
I mean,
he's been known to fuck some guests, and
I mean, usually who knows how many children he really has running around, you know, the world.
But, well, usually, you know, he just sends them on their way. That's a,
yeah, this know. One, you know, she's just like, you know, she wants a relationship to work. She's raising the little baby. I mean, God bless. Hopefully they work out, but they're interesting. I also feel like Love in Paradise is a little more, I would agree that it's more entertaining. I feel like a lot of people that I try to get into the show, my friend came over and, you know, she's like, what is this nonsense you watch, you know, that you know, pot about. And I was like, listen, put on this. And she was more captivated with Love in Paradise than with the regular 90 Day. So I think, you know, Sharp has struck gold with more of the fuckery. I think that people like fuckery. So I think it should be a little bit, you know, it's embodying the old school, I think, a little bit. So I kind of really like it.
Well, hopefully they don't ruin it, because what they're not hinging on here is the whole pressure of the time limit, right? She may go, oh, I only have, you know, 1 week to really convince him to come out, but it's not like, all right, well, I got to know if I can trust her or like this person before I propose to them. And what the fuck? And, you know, like, that was the whole goal of like the, like 90 Day the Other Way of, I got 2 weeks to download if this person is the person I want to, you know,
exactly,
put a rock on their finger and spend $4,000 to get them to the United States kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like, you know, that couple, I don't know, they're interesting to watch. He's kind of, I don't think he's in love with her. I think she's holding on to whatever she can with the baby to keep him around. But, you know, he's doing his thing. And you know what? It is what it is. He's in Jamaica. Unless, you know, she comes up with some magic tricks to get him here, you know, on the K1. But I don't know.
Because, you know, the thing that drives me nuts is that her mind is only like, hey, I want to convince you to come to where I live. And my thought is like, has she thought about moving there?
Yeah, he don't want
everywhere that they go, he's going to have a wandering eye if he's a cheater. So,
well, yeah, I mean, he's in a swingers resort. Come on, guys, let's be serious. That's what he does for a living. Yes. But
He swings. Chocolate on my pillow.
The other couple, I really like Danielle and Johan.
I think it's Johan.
Johan, yes. Johan, I like them, but she's delusional. I think another one as well. You know, like she's just, she just doesn't realize that, you know, her age is playing a factor. You know, she's, you know, very spiritual. I like that. She brings a little bit of more positive energy to the show, which I think is nice. But, and he's a very godly person. I don't know if you've noticed, if you picked up on it, he's always like, Jesus and God will make us have a baby. I believe in it. So I think this couple is in love. I think they're cute.
Yeah. Their chemistry seems really authentic.
Yeah. And you know, they went to the fertility clinic and she was laying on the table, and
they always do that. And I'm like, are you guys using the same footage as Angela's last egg?
Yeah. And I'm just like, but you know what, they're authentic. But the real couple that I would love to dive into is the two gay guys. Valentine
and Carlos. Right?
Valentine is very difficult. Like, and I don't understand like what is so difficult about, you know, and this is very interesting. This is like my favorite part of watching 90 Day. And I love watching when people who are so American and so set in their ways, and then they come to a new country and they cannot assimilate to anything. He is right. So difficult. Like the second they got in the car, when he got him from the airport, boom, he was critiquing his, why do you drive like this? Why do you do this? Why do you that? And I'm thinking in my head, have you never left the United States? Like, have you not seen what goes on anywhere but where you live?
Well, you saw him when he's like, I feel like I'm losing my independence. It's like, yes, you're going to have to take a moment to learn how to be in a different place. Like, that's just, happens in different states. Like,
yeah, I mean, you know, people come from, you know, Texas or come from, you know, Chicago, that, you know, they come from even this, I feel like the South and the North, you know, just being a New Yorker is two different planets, you know, and just West Coast is a different planet. So it's just like, you assimilate, you know, like, you know, people say like in LA, like, oh, I can't, you know, here I could walk down to the deli and get a slice of pizza. In LA, you got to jump in the car and you're driving 10 miles to get to the, to buy milk, you know?
Right.
So it's very different. And he was just very nasty and very rude from the beginning. I don't know if you've thought that, but I picked up on very just inconsiderate vibes. Like, you know, this guy is trying to pop champagne. I don't drink alcohol, but you know, I don't drink alcohol, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what is this, Bilal, the sequel? Like, I can't.
But you know what? He kind of gets like that vibe of, oh, who was it?
Jesse?
No, the couple in Mexico from 90 Day Fiancé.
I can't remember.
Why can't I remember their names? They have the cute little girl.
Oh, I don't know. I have.
Oh, yeah. That's going to drive me nuts. That's how 90 Day is, though. You like blink and you're like, who was on the last season?
Yeah.
But I remember when he went down to Mexico and he was complaining, you know, I can't understand the language. I don't like avocado. It was just,
you know? I remember. I know what you're talking about, but I can't put my finger on it.
Oh, that's terrible. Like, no. This won't do. I have to know.
Yeah.
Because as soon as I see it, I'm going to be really angry. It was,
yes. It's just
Armando,
it's
just, and Kenny. Oh my God.
Kenny seems to really like living in Mexico.
He does now, but on the show, you know, the show portrayed him as kind of a nitpicky American in Mexico.
Yeah.
I don't like this. I don't know what to order. I can't do this on my own. I can't do this. I can't be independent. It's like, oh my fucking God.
Yeah. I vaguely remember that because I feel like they kind of are smarter, that couple, because they've only been doing pillow talk. They haven't really shown themselves again,
it's one hit wonder, right? It's that instant goal, just fly off of that. Don't ruin it with giving us more glimpse into your life.
I feel like once you get pillow talk, like just stay on pillow talk, because then you really don't have to like get involved in the fuckery again.
Nope.
So I think pillow talk was a smooth move for them because they're very cute on camera together. They have good dynamic talking. I've seen pillow talk on, for this particular show we're talking about, 90 Day in Paradise. One episode. I don't know if they're really going to pillow talk it. I think they should, to be honest.
Oh, I think they should too. Okay. I think they should give the pillow talkers something out of their element to.
Well,
to
what about the polyamorous thing? I mean, he's also polyamorous. So they're both tops, which does not work. Okay.
Well, I mean, you don't always have to enter the store. You can.
Yeah. However, I could see this. Okay. And interestingly enough, Carlos said, is he acting that he's polyamorous because he's a hoe and he basically just wants to be able to freely, you know, do whatever he wants. Carlos, in my opinion, even though he's gay and he's out of the norm in his country, which I understand because gay and lesbian and, you know, all this kinky sex stuff is very frowned upon in other countries. In America, you know, we just got done with Pride. You know, pride and being yourself is like a whole thing here. In a different country, you know, it's still very new to other people. You know, I know, and you know, I'm Greek, and I know like my family would not be interested in this kind of stuff, just not because they're not open to it. It's just not normal over there. You know,
we're further in our journey. We're further evolved, to normalize this. Like, we're not all the way there.
Yes,
by and far, but I can imagine that the lifestyle there would be tough, because I know that they had commented that, you know, it's not easy and it's not really accepted there.
And Colombia is also a Latin American country. They're Catholic, you know, they're very conservative in certain ways. So I could see why he gets twisted a little bit when he's a little bit too open with his homosexuality, because he hasn't told his family that he's
oh goodness, that, yeah.
Yeah, so that's their big conflict. Yeah. And
yeah,
you know, his other concern is like, are we polyamorous? Because you just want to do what the hell you want, or are you polyamorous because you're really polyamorous? So he plays that.
It's a good question, because with polyamory, right, like, and I'm not an expert, but there's so many pieces to it. It's not just non-monogamy, right? It's under the umbrella of ethical non-monogamy. So yes. It's like there is consent on both sides. You're not just free to do whatever. That's just non-monogamous. Mm-hmm. Polyamory is usually when everyone knows and everyone's autonomous in the relationship. There might be mains, you know, but it's not one person just going out and doing whatever and the other person in the couple is like at home. Like there's so many different branches of it. And I could see him saying I'm polyamorous because he just doesn't do monogamy, or it's easy for him to say, because with polyamory, you're usually building relationships, not just.
Yeah, for sure.
Having, you know, every week.
The other, okay, what about the lesbian couple who decided to have a threesome with Frank, and now Frank is in love with Abby, or, you know, Frank is in love with Abby, not Gabby. That blew my mind. I was like, wow, we have struck TLC gold once again. We have struck gold.
Because, I think maybe it was that good though. He's like, oh my.
I mean, you know, I'm not putting down anyone's appearance, but this guy is the man. Like this guy went back from Mexico. I forget where they're from, but I want to say, I think they're from DR or Puerto Rico.
Oh, them. They're I can't remember. That was Mexico.
Yeah. So then now they're having a secret relationship. But you know, it's really fucked up to me because I haven't seen, you know, the coming episodes. Obviously, we're gonna see everything. But like, is this girl just bored and wants to get out of this lifestyle and just gonna use Frankie to get out of here, or is she really in love with him and really likes boys all of a sudden? I mean, I don't know. That to me is very kind of weird. It's a little twisted. So I would love to see that relationship transpire, how it's really going to go.
Right. You know? Or they're not lesbian. I mean, I know we don't have to have like firm labels on everything, but like, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're bisexual and if you're with a female at the time, people will just designate you as lesbian. You know, exactly. When that may not be her personal case or preference, but if she fell in love with a guy, maybe there was a world being rocked. But I'd want to know like their relationship even more. Like, how did it transpire that they were just gonna, you know?
I think like they kept in touch with. I think Abby just kept in touch with him more, and that's how it happened. I really think that's like probably how it went down, you know.
Opinion. He can be in love, but does she want to be with him?
Yep. And that's an interesting, you know, thing to say, but I don't know, he got hooked
he got
a little taste of that, you know. And oh, that's it, God. You know,
that's all it takes.
Yep, it takes a one drunken night, guys, that's all it takes. But yeah, and then the other couple is a season, this is their second season, is the guy from Venezuela and the girl from Florida, and they have a bunch of roommates. They have the cats, she lives with a sister, then they have she goes out with her friends, and then he was like, oh, you know, I thought she was fun, you know, we were hanging out, but now she's always drunk. Like, I don't like that. And this couple's married.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's another interesting storyline. And I'm trying to think if we can cover anybody else we forgot.
I
think that's it.
I think that was it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Daniel and Amber.
Yes. I like him. I think he's a little more mature than she is. Kind of reminds you of like Guillermo and Kara a little bit. So, I don't know. But yeah, so if you guys haven't watched it, definitely get into that. But we can get into the real 90 Day, because it's getting good right now, guys. I think so.
What part is sticking to you right now?
So Patrick and Thaisa's storyline is kind of evolving that I really, and I hate to say this because I don't know her in real life and I don't whatever, but she's being really, really immature, like a real, real level 10 brat. Like, you know, the furniture store scene with the episode. And first of all, he should just take her to Home Goods, you know, TJ Maxx, Home Goods. That would have sufficed her to decorate the house. She's complaining about this. She's complaining about that. Then to top it off, the poor guy. And my heart goes out for Patrick because I think that she's just being ridiculous. Like she should be a little bit more grateful for the situation. And she's continuously complaining about John, continuously complaining about this and that. And, you know, basically, you know, in my opinion, I think John sticks around to help him out, which I don't think is a bad thing. And from what I see from the show, you know, he's on the second floor. He does whatever he has to do. Like, I don't think that John is really that bad of a dude where she's, you know, constantly complaining about him. And I think he has every right to stick up for his brother because I've noticed the deep rooted, you know, bond and family trauma that they're kind of, you know, they're brothers. They've been through a lot of crap and, you know, it came out the episode where they went to Vegas and we met another brother. They have another sibling and the brother was like, oh, like what's up with the wedding and blah, blah, blah. And the brother goes, well, she goes, I'm not telling my dad we're married. So she's sneaky and she's deceiving her father by not telling her father that she's actually marrying him. And she's just going to marry him and be like, hey dad, I'm married. Like, no, like you, that's not what you do. Like, I don't know. I don't like that. I think that's really, really, really manipulative. And I think that's really mean of her to do that. And that makes Patrick feel like shit, to be honest with you. He's like, what? I brought you here. I got you all these papers and you just didn't tell your dad. You failed to mention we're getting married. Like, really?
Right.
I don't like that. I just don't like that. I think it's going to cause a big ruckus. And then when John finds out that she doesn't, I think that's the upcoming episode. When John finds out, I think he's going to flip out on her. So can't wait for that one because she deserves it. She's a bitch and she's a brat.
Right.
And I don't like that. You know, like this person brought you to this country, spent all this money on you. And, you know, he's acting out and being mean to her, but out of frustration because she's so ridiculous. You know, that's my opinion. What's your
opinion? Well, I think he's just upset. Like when he was like, this is how you marry a stripper. You know,
exactly.
He's saying you deserve better. And she's like, I don't know if she's trying to do it just to like stick it to her dad or something like that. But
it just
feels like she's trying to really steamroll the situation. And like,
exactly.
Usually. Yeah. I mean, usually you get that. I don't know.
Yeah. This couple is a little, I don't know, but I mean, you know, the point is, you know, you have to look at it from a different angle. Like she's not doing, she's 25. Like, you know, Patrick, I believe is in his, I think he's 30. I think from what I saw the brothers, the brother has a husband, he's married. And then John is the oldest. So these are all grown men, you know, dealing with a 25-year-old child. You know, and she's from Brazil. She's probably never seen anything but Brazil. She doesn't know any better. So unfortunately, you know, her brattiness is just, you know, she'll mature. She'll get better. I'm rooting for them as a couple.
But there's no rush. Like it looks bad, you know, and usually people will jump to that.
Yes.
That assumption that she's just trying to solidify the deal so that she is, you know, here and doesn't have to worry about having to go back.
Yeah. And I feel like he would have prolonged it. He would have flown her back. I think he proposed and I don't know. I just feel like she's being shady and I'm not into it. Not a fan. Anyway, the other couple is the other thing I want to talk about was Ari and Binyam.
Oh, our favorite. Yeah.
Well, funny enough, they were in Long Island at the Westboro Music Fair. That's where he was doing his fight mm-hmm. and he won. And he, you know, very, you know, he has an amazing body. He's very, very athletic. Like, you know, And then they cut to the next scene. Then the next day, I think, or so, is Ethiopian New Year. This is what I don't understand. Why is Leandro always around? Like, is this guy, is he, like, I have a theory about Leandro and, like, if the fraudster is, like, really, like, whatever. I think Leandro, something is wrong with him. Why are you always involved in everything she does? Like, why? And why is she, why is he invited to Ethiopian New Year, where that's Binyam's holiday? It's not like they have a child together. It's not like whatever, you know, and, you know, you and Hanikawa and Katrina both have blended families. Are you going to really go to your, you know, this person's New Year's party when you have nothing to do? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like I just wanted to hear your perspective on Leandro and Ariella's relationship, because I think it's bizarre, to be honest.
I think if anything, it's probably not very deep. I can't, well, you know how it is to have the 80%, right? And then there's the 20% you see that has no stressor in your life. So, you know, when she looks at him, she doesn't see, you know, a guy that's not doing his job as a dad or whatever. With 90 Day though, there's always those people that are like always around. And you never really figure it out. It's how I felt about the Jessens. Yeah.
Oh, the, which now have turned into, there's all this fuckery with them and they don't speak to each other and divorce.
But there was like the rumor of like them being in a swingerish type relationship. I'm not saying that.
Which is possible. No one's, we ain't the ones to judge, just saying, but that's just.
I think it's fantastic. Have fun.
Yeah, do you, baby?
But 90 Day never really explains or shows enough footage for us to make for us to understand what's going on, and they never say anything. Hey, why is your friend always here? They're like, well, no, we're not going to actually explain it logically, because there could be a logical reason why he's always there, but we're going to let the audience just think that for some reason she's included her ex in their life, and we're going to leave it at that and make everyone who's here wonder exactly the same thing. I feel like that's all they're doing. Like, I feel like there's probably a real explanation as to why, and maybe he is maybe he wasn't so much of a romantic ex as the show made us think, and he's just a friend that is helping out while they're, you know, doing stuff.
Yeah,
I wouldn't see Binyam putting up with a guy that's like, you know,
she wants to take him to pick out her wedding gown. Like, that's weird. Like, hey, ex-husband, come with me to pick out my wedding gown for my new husband. Like, no, like, completely no boundaries, completely out of line. Like, I don't know if it's for theatrics or if it's just, she's just that close with him. I think it's weird. I just don't like it. I don't blame her for, you know, crutching onto Leandro in general, you know, when she needed emotional attention, when Binyam was acting stupid and butt bongos and being a dummy. But at the same time, Binyam, I think, has come a long way. I think he wants to, I think he loves her. I think he wants to make this life happen. I think he's trying as hard as he can. And I see the genuine love from Binyam's family and with Ariella's family and Binyam. I think they like him. They're accepting of him. They love the baby. You know, this Leandro crap, I don't know. I don't know if it's just if Sharp is just setting him up for it or whatever. I'd love to see if the tell-all, if they bring him on.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
I heard tell-all tea. I heard that John was there. I heard that David was there. I heard that yeah, just from Instagram and just people spilling, you know, just doing a little research. There's a tell all should be good, you know.
Fingers crossed. We've needed a good tell all.
We
for
need a good
tell all.
I mean, I think, to be honest with you, we have a couple of, you know, Jabri and Miona, you know, and that storyline. But now, you know, the new storyline is with them is like they don't want to come. I think that's crap. I think they're going to come to the wedding. With, you know, I want my beach wedding. And then I've been also following them on the gram, and they have.
Hold on, who? Sorry, I wasn't following.
Sorry, Jabri and Miona.
Okay.
they look like they've definitely upgraded to something. So they definitely have a new place or a new apartment.
Yeah. You never know sometimes.
Who knows?
With them and their Instagram pics, or if they're just finally starting to post where they are because the show's about to close up. You know, are they still together? Are they not still together?
I think they're still together, absolutely. Even Mohammed, too, I think are still together.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I think all of them, pretty much. Even Mohammed, you know, he's getting kind of feisty from what I've seen. He's a little bit feisty, demanding a little bit more. I don't know, what about, I want my green card, I want to work. Like, just being very rude to her. You know, almost like giving me like Mohammed Danielle kind of level.
Yeah, that's where my brain went. But in the same breath, you don't know what's going on, what his frustrations are. I can imagine coming to another country and being completely having your hands tied, not being able to work, but like knowing if you could work, it would definitely, like, I don't know, improve any situation would be completely frustrating. Like, not having money and then going, gee, if I could work, because I'm not stupid, you know, or I have a degree, or I can clearly, you know, get us somewhere with what I got. That has to be frustrating.
Hey, fraudcasters. Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge. I know I've always had problems with it, whether it was the fit or the quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims, the maker of my perfect t-shirt bra. Now I have the perfect t-shirt to go with that bra. From either crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. My cotton jersey t-shirt is now a wardrobe staple for me. I reach for it almost every day, and the fit is so perfect because it snatches me right in at the waist. I've washed it a million times, and it's held its shape really well. It fits like a dream. I absolutely love it. And honestly, you guys, I thought, like, okay, this shirt is going to be too small for me, and it's not going to fit right, and all the bulges are going to show. But it doesn't at all. I put it on and it magically stretches to fit me perfectly, and it holds all those bulges in. Every little but last bulge that I have is all held in, and it looks fantastic. I absolutely love it, and it is super, super comfortable, and it is one of my new favorite t-shirts. You can shop the Skims t-shirt collection at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small up to 4X. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu.
Guillermo and Kara, nothing much with that storyline. Just her hanging out with her friends, having a drink, leaving him home. I've said it from the beginning that I believe he's a lot more mature than she is. She's just like, whatever. I want to have fun. I mean... But, you know, you're getting married. You have bills to pay. You know, enough already with the nonsense.
What are bills?
I know. What are bills, right?
Don't do that bill thing. ooh, what about the couple where, my goodness, why can't I remember the name? She's the one that wants him to...
Kobe?
And, Kobe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hi, guys.
Hello. Hi.
What did I miss?
We're playing, like, I don't know. It feels like 90 day ping pong. We're just talking about anything.
Are we talking about Love in Paradise? Because
we talked about Love in Paradise. Yeah. And then now we are on to Kobe and Emily. So we're talking
let's finish our thoughts up of Kobe. I didn't really have thoughts. I actually had to, finish cooking dinner at the time, so I missed what happened to them, if anything special happened with them. But I don't know, for some reason, like, the couple that I'm babysitting mentally this season,
them.
Yeah, I don't know why they interest me so much, but
well, because she's such another certifiable brat. Our friend over there, you know, decides, oh, let me just go buy a ring, and then in the heat of their proposal, she then whips out the ring that she bought herself and pisses him off. You know what? Like, that's so emasculating.
She's such a twat. She's a brat. I mean, that's the best way to describe it, is she's a brat.
I almost wish like she would date Bilal.
Because
oh my god.
90 day mix up. Let's mix and match.
It's, I feel like I would love to see Kara. No, not Kara. I'd love to see Kobe with like Kalani. I think that would be a good match.
Oh,
Kalani was dealing with such a man child for so long, and a brat, as well as a big brat too. We forgot about him.
Him and Emily together, and they would never get anything done. Her parents would have to do everything for them.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Can you imagine? And then Muhammad, we were talking about Muhammad and Eve, and he's another brat.
Uh-huh.
Not a fan of him. Not a fan of whatsoever.
Who would we put her with though?
You know, who would be
anybody over all the seasons, over any iteration.
Any of the guys that I really find like a gem, like a good dude, like none of them. They're all,
she needs a good person. She's taking care of her son. She's been a single mom to a special needs kid for her whole life. Like, she needs somebody who's going to take care of her.
I really like Zaid, to be honest with you.
Okay. But he's okay with Rebecca. I wouldn't necessarily split him up.
No. Rebecca, I'm just saying needs like a Zaid kind of, like somebody with his personality. I think he's a good dude. I think he's come a long way. He loves Rebecca. They're doing great. She needs someone who is a little bit more, less pushy of the Muslim stuff. Like Zaid is, you know, he stated his claim and he said this and that, but he's doing well in the country and he's evolving as a human being. So I think that's important. Who else can we think of? Mix up. Patrick. I mean, Thais and he's not leaving her. That's his boo thing. Nope.
She's got the vortex vagina.
Oh my God. The Dyson. Never lose.
Yeah, suction. It just sucks. It's a vortex. Sucks him in and he won't leave. Just clamps right on.
Oh my God.
Right? Yeah, but we were also discussing that she is such a brat too. Like level 10 brat. And you know what? Like, I don't feel bad for her that she lives with John. I think that Patrick and him have had some serious family issues and that they're brothers and that basically blood is thicker than water. And he said that a lot. And yeah, maybe this kid does drink beer and have friends and he's normal. Like the fact that she wants to keep Patrick in solitary confinement and to live in this house and just stare at each other, that's giving me like Fernanda and Jonathan vibes too.
Oh, for sure. They're very Jonathan and Fernanda.
Yeah. And I think what was Fernanda's problem? Oh, the Chicago. She wanted to move when his whole business was basically based out of North Carolina. But I don't know. I mean, I heard rumors that she's knocked up. I'm not sure if it's confirmed, but.
I see her posting something?
I don't know. But I mean, they're still together. So.
Wait, who?
Patrick and Thais.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah, she is. Yeah, we're the ones who didn't announce it because I'm not allowed to talk about her being pregnant if she is in fact pregnant. But people figured out.
I saw it elsewhere, so I'm not.
We saw it elsewhere. That's why it's okay.
I let other people do the announcements, and
and I heard.
Yeah, I did not announce that.
They can take Kara's the sweat pregnant for it.
And Emily and Kobe have another child. And Emily and Kobe's storyline was shot years ago because the little boy is turning 3 or 4. In a few days.
Mm-hmm. So I can imagine that they started their story around COVID time and where'd my brain go? And are finishing it, honestly, because so much got shut down.
Exactly.
But yeah, we were just kind of gabbing around anything that kind of stuck out for.
I don't know what you guys were talking about Love in Paradise, but can we talk
let's go back to it. It's more interesting anyway.
The biggest storyline of the season comes with the fact that the logistics of two gay men who are both tops. That is the biggest storyline.
That's what Anna was saying.
That's the biggest storyline out of this. I am fucking down for this.
What? Why is that confusing to people?
like,
okay.
I love
there
watching
are so
them.
Many other fun things you can do that doesn't include,
because it's a way for them to have this whole storyline about I want to be polyamorous and the other guy doesn't.
And well, that's just him wanting to be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I think they're using that as like the in, right? Like, we can talk about this issue as a segue to the way to talk about the bigger issue, which is.
Oh, so he wants to be polyamorous because he has a need to be.
His story is, you know, if we get a third into this relationship who is a bottom, then all of this is solved.
He's not lying.
I mean, they would
if
both.
It's a problem for them, if they're saying, hey, this is a problem.
Carlos is the mustache hair guy. He's the one saying it's a problem because he's not polyamorous. And he's not, you know, down for that lifestyle, but the other guy, Val or whatever, you know, however, because they the closed captions and stuff, like they spell it capital V, lowercase a, capital L and time. So it's Val and time. I don't know. So the story is him being, well, we don't have a bottom in this relationship, but I'm polyamorous. So if we bring in a third, that will make it, you know, that will solve the problem. And so that's the conflict between them was polyamory or no. And Carlos is not in down for this. So that's what it seems to be setting up for, at least according to the last episode, the one that just came out that I watched. But I watched that at least like late last night, you guys, in between a bunch of other stuff. And so I don't know if I caught everything on the most recent episode, but that's where I.
Yeah. Me and Hanukkah were discussing that we feel like maybe he's just using this as an excuse to fuck around still.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's the general, right? That's what you were just saying, Hanukkah, right? It's like, right. You know, I have known people in real life who have been caught cheating in a monogamous relationship and then say, oh, let's have an open marriage or let's have a polyamorous marriage. And it's
Which
really
is fine
just,
if both people agree that that's what you want to do,
right?
It's perfectly fine,
right? But using it as a
you
know, because you're cheating is not, and you know what, this storyline is on Seeking Sister Wife also.
Yeah, it's not a scapegoat. Mm-hmm. You can't just like claim polyamory when you get caught with your hand in multiple fucking cookie jars.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta.
But that's what's happening on Seeking Sister Wife, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, he went out, they broke up because she was cheating or he was cheating, but then he ended up like with this other girl and then the original one wanted him back. And it was like, only if we do this whole group thing. And it's like, what? Like, that's not how that works. And somebody was like, you don't go,
you know,
polygamous marriage, you know, or polyamory. Which are two separate things. You don't do that to get out of cheating. Like, that's not what it's about.
Well, and it's not a compromise. If you go, hey, the reason why I stepped out is because I think that I am polyamorous and here's my views on, you know, non-monogamy. If you're up for this, that can be the type of lifestyle we have. But like I said, both sides are consenting. That's like the number one fucking rule in polyamory.
It's ethical non-monogamy, right?
Thank you. Read The Ethical Slut. It's a great book.
Okay.
The Ethical Slut. It's fantastic. It covers all different faucets of ethical non-monogamy, what it is, what it isn't. I read it in college for one class. And like, my eyes were freaking open. That's why every time I see the people on 90 Day and they're like, well, what's that extra guy doing there? I was like, group sex. It's popular. You know,
this is why we always
people's
go to
needs.
Groups,
people's
to group
needs
sex.
Are met. If you have two nuts and need a bolt.
Right.
You might.
If that's what's right for you, that's what's right
lid,
for you.
Guys, right? Every pot has a lid. Well, it's,
you know,
also with, you know, threesomes and
some pots have two lids. It's fine.
I mean,
you can interchange them.
Every hole's a goal.
It's 2022. Every people are just, you know, they're just doing whatever. You know,
that's
but
the title of the show.
Every hole's a goal.
The title of the show is Star Spangled Fuckery. That's what's going on over here. Some American crazy
I don't know.
God bless America, y'all.
God bless America. Stars, stars and stripes.
Stars and fucking stripes.
Stars and stars.
Well, we're women. I don't feel so free.
Oh, sorry. Oh, no, no, no. Can of worms.
There was one other sex story. Can we talk about, I need to talk about the threesome.
Yes.
How much did you guys talk about?
We only touched on it.
They touched.
What's your opinion?
They were touched by an angel.
Obviously, because you fucking didn't go away.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, how fake do we think this storyline is?
I don't know. She's trying to get papers.
She wants papers, which, I mean, I'm not judging her. Whatever. She wants papers. She wants papers. But then she talks about trying to bring over the girlfriend. And
hold on, clarify for the audience which couple we're talking about.
Okay.
Because we've been everywhere and they're probably gonna throw a tomato or two, but
So these two women who live in Guadalajara, Mexico. I forget their names, Abby and something.
Abby and Gabby.
They have been together for like 10 years and they met this guy, Ricky Stick.
Frankie,
and he came over on vacation after a bad, you know, marriage ending, and just like, go get your freak on, you know, more power to you, dude. He goes down there, meets these girls, and spends a week having sex with them. Great week. Mm-hmm. He leaves. He and Abby talk because Abby speaks English. Gabby does not really speak any. So Abby and him have been talking and they quote unquote fell in love in like 3 weeks, and now he's coming back and
proposing
and they're gonna go off to America, and Gabby doesn't know any of this. Now this just seems real sketch in a lot of ways, right? Like, they're really trying to make this intriguing storyline, which I would love if it were actually true, but I get the sense it's not completely true because
I feel like
Gabby knows and she's just playing this whole like, okay, you go over and get him, you know, get your papers, and then we'll figure out, you know, he'll bring another guy, he'll have a friend who can marry me and bring me over, and then everything will be fine, like whatever scam or thing, you know, plan they have in place, right? I feel like that everybody knows and everybody's in on it.
Yeah, no, exactly. But yeah, next week, I feel like were like filler episodes. Hopefully next week is a little better. So
it's not. I mean, it's good. I'd rather, you know, I'll be honest, I haven't watched the last two episodes of 90 Day because 2 hour episodes of the same nonsense. It's the exact same thing over and over and over.
Very redundant. Like, you know, and like, we loved potting and we loved talking about it, but like lately, like, I feel like I would like to cover Love in Paradise a little more in depth.
Focus on
that a little more because, you know, we know they're all going to get married. We know who's knocked up, like, you know?
Yeah.
So let's, you know, focus on that. So like if any of the, you know, the fraudsters have any feedback, you know, if they want us to cover anything else, but 90 Day, like, it's over. I would really like to cover the tell-all because I heard.
We'll cover the tell-all, but I just can't recover the regular show. But Love in Paradise, I sat and watched 3 episodes in a row last night.
And it was great.
Yeah, I was
intrigued. Gold. We said that.
Only an hour episodes.
Perfect.
Like, yes, that's what it needs to be. The 2 hours is exhausting.
You know, 2 hours. This is at least interesting stuff. I mean, they're talking about tops and bottoms and polyamory and threesomes, and the Sherlon story with Ariana is to me exactly the Emily and Kobe story, and the
I said the same thing.
Daniel, yep. And whatever her name is, story is the exact same thing as the Cara and Guillermo story.
Yep.
So those are all whatever. There's nothing exciting about those, but these other ones, I'm like, I am glad that TLC is going here and talking about this stuff. You know, even
because
if it is
normal, this is.
A sensationalized way, even if it's a sensationalized way, like, at least they're showing that this stuff is out there, right? And, you know, Hanakawa and I, you know, we've done many, many episodes on the Patreon about sex positive stuff, right? Like interviewing porn stars, adult film actresses, strippers, cam girls, you know, all of these kinds of things, because we're really intrigued, at least I am, you know, intrigued by the lifestyles. And I like to hear these stories. Mm-hmm. We encourage this. We're very positive about this stuff.
We're very pro sex workers.
Yes. But, and I'm very pro uterus too.
But, you know, very pro uterus.
Which apparently everyone is.
Yep. Any feedback from you guys, any of the followers, I feel like Love in Paradise is kind of like, we kind of all agree that this is going to be our baby. Tell All might be good, because I might just skip watching the rest of it and just wait for the Tell All, to be honest, because I'm just bored out of my mind.
Yeah. I'm, like I said, I didn't watch the last two, but I am watching this Love in Paradise, which is fantastic. I catch up on Seeking Sister Wives, which is been awesome. If you are not watching that, you guys go watch that. Might be fun to talk about it in an offhand way. I haven't watched Plathville yet this season. It just hasn't drawn me in.
Yeah, you know what it is, it's also summertime. We're all,
I'm waiting
busy
for the good Netflix stuff to come out. Remember, a couple years ago we had like Tiger King, and then we had Love is Blind. I'm waiting for like the big blockbuster summer trash to come out.
Yeah, we need like good, and Love Lockup is coming back, so you know that that could be good.
We'll see.
But
we're just going to talk about whatever we're going to talk about. And we do apologize for not having episodes out, you guys. I am in the middle of an MS flare. I'm completely flaring up right now. It's been coming on for a couple weeks. I started new medication. It threw my body into whack. This Hummer heat, everything, taking my kid down to college or visiting his college, that was a lot. Even though I drove around on an electronic grandma scoot, one of the electronic scooters. Mm-hmm. So awesome.
The grandma scoot.
You know, I'm wrapping up the end of the school year. So that was big, hectic.
Yeah, your teacher, you know.
So, but we will be back.
It's been nuts. So our goal is to get you guys more and more episodes. And we're trying.
We are.
It's not because we're not watching or whatever. It's just
life. Life happens.
And trying to get all three of us to record, and then somebody gets sick, and then this happens and that happens and whatever. Yep. So anyway, we love you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the support. Happy 4th. The episode will be out probably by.
I have a problem saying happy 4th right now because I just can't feel freedom.
What's my birthday? So happy birthday, Anna.
Happy birthday, Anna. There we go.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Anna.
The ticking time bomb takes her 37th trip around the sun on July 4th tomorrow.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye, guys.
Hey, fraudcasters. You know, I used to find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting. They were the first thing to take off when I got home. But Skims has changed all that. You guys know I love my Skims Fits Everybody t-shirt bras. I own them in just about every shade now. I wear them every single day when I leave the house. And they are completely worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give. But what I was not expecting from them was how comfortable they are. Even the underwire bras that I wear all day, I barely even notice. Definitely not the first thing I take off when I come home anymore. Y'all, I'm a 36 double D, and I've had a reduction, and I've gone up and down and lost weight and gained weight and all the things. And the Fits Everybody t-shirt bra, I swear, fits me the best. I finally found a t-shirt bra that I can wear, but not only that, it is the best bra that I own. It holds the girls in so well, and let me just say, Hetero Life Mate really appreciates these bras too. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, from a 30A to a 46H. Plus, get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, please be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show, The Fraudcast, in the drop-down menu that follows.